It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
The longer the controllers are able to delay inevitable collapse, societal and ecological, the more abrupt and horrific that collapse will be. Even if the human race had an endless supply of truly renewable energy, would that actually save us from ourselves? Short answer, no. Only sanity can do that. With all the discussions of skyrocketing temperatures and the consequences of the same, including coral reef bleachings, oceans and forests dying, no major source is willing to admit to, let alone address, Earth's collapsing ozone layer, which in and of itself is an extremely near-term existential threat. Climate engineering, the atmospheric aerosol dispersions it involves, and the connected atmospheric frequency transmissions are the most damaging factors for the ozone layer, at least what remains of it. We're facing a functional collapse of the ozone layer in the next few years, mathematically and statistically, if we remain on the current trajectory. It's not somewhere off in the distant future. The ozone layer is already so badly damaged, it is devastating insects, both terrestrial and aquatic. It's frying foliage and crops, killing plankton and coral reefs alike. The following is the most recent update message from the former NASA contract engineer that works directly with geoengineeringwatch.org with state-of-the-art UV metering equipment that geoengineeringwatch.org has supplied him. Here it is. There will be more to follow on a future geoengineeringwatch.org post. Here's the excerpt. 270 nanometer UVC radiation at Earth's surface damages and kills DNA and RNA. That's all life. A healthy upper ozone layer blocks this harmful radiation, which you no longer have an upper ozone layer that is functional. The letter continues, that's why the ERAST program, and that stands for the Environmental Research Aircraft and Sensor Technology, the scientists find out just how critical a healthy ozone layer is and how badly it has been damaged by everything from nuclear bomb tests, rocket launches, industrial pollution, and the use of carbon fuel. Most importantly, were repercussions from the military on their atmospheric testing to control the weather. The science community has been told that the upper ozone layer had been damaged only by CFCs, chlorofluorocarbons. That was a question I gave, and this is a statement from the former NASA contract engineer, the scientists at NASA. How can a CFC, which is much heavier than air, reach over 80,000 feet? I never received a good answer, but was diverted back to the Montreal Protocol. Unless you haven't noticed how badly this planet has been and continues to be polluted, you will soon enough notice when you see there is no food at the stores on the shelves. I'm not talking years either. He means much sooner, of course. The UV metering contract engineer continues with this. We are feeling the effects of depletion of the upper ozone layer. My best estimate is there is less than 30% now left, and there are holes all over in the ozone layer. You'll feel one soon, if you haven't already. It gives a stinging sensation on your arms and face. Also greatly heats surfaces, cars, car interiors. It's frying foliage, cooking the Cambrian layer on the sun-exposed sides of many tree species. You can see this very easily when you have the core wood exposed from trunk to tip. This is incredibly common now. The trees in Redding, California, where I live, a city that was once known for its trees, look horrific. The upper canopy branches are, in many cases, dead. The trees are gnarled-looking, misshapen, and, again, burnt trunks, the Cambrian layer, on so many species. It's profound how so few notice this, and even the amount of mortalities that are occurring in cars that are locked now that heat incredibly fast because this penetrating radiation. And for those that don't understand the UV scale, we are told that only UV A and B are penetrating to the Earth's surface. 95% UV A and the rest UV B, but that is absolutely not true. We're getting UVC in the surface now as well, and that's the last spectrum of UV radiation before X-ray. We all know how harmful that is. The UV metering system is a complete fallacy. They only meter down to 300 nanometers of UV radiation. That's only half the UVB spectrum, none of the UVC spectrum. How can you possibly give a UV radiation reading when you're not even metering for a significant part of it? The entire system designed, like so many other aspects of so-called industrialized, militarized civilization, designed to mask the true severity of what's unfolding from populations until the brutal, bitter end, and telling those populations there's nothing to worry about, the sun feels intense because that's just the way it is and the way it's always been when it hasn't been that way. We need to pay attention to our God-given senses on so many levels and on so many subjects. Earth Day just passed. How many self-proclaimed environmental organizations said a single word about Earth's imploding ozone layer or climate engineering operations? If you know of any that did address either subject, please let us know who they are. You can reach us at admin@geoengineeringwatch.org. Next headline, drought, food shortages, and deadly heat. El Nino has ended, but its impacts are still being felt. That's from Euronews.com. It's not just El Nino, obviously. What happens when the food shelves empty out? It's already happening in about 36 countries around the world. Chaos, carnage, and global conflict. War is always the final option for the clinically insane that currently control it all. Here's a profound and timeless quote to consider. It's not a matter of whether the war is not real or if it is. Victory is not possible. The war was not meant to be won. It was meant to be continuous. That's from George Orwell. How prophetic his writings were. I'll get to a long list of bad news breaking headlines in a moment, but first let's ask this question. Who's running it all, ultimately? What is the definition of those who pull the levers of power? From ClathamHouse.org, definition of a kleptocracy. Here it is. Most explanations of kleptocracy, derived from the Greek word for thief and rule, stress the aspect of, quote, grand corruption, whereby high-level political power is abused to enable a network of ruling elites to steal public funds for their own private gain using public institutions. They continue, kleptocracy is therefore a system based on virtually unlimited grand corruption coupled with near total impunity for those authorized to loot by the thief-in-chief, namely the head of state. The most successful kleptocracies are those which, rather than strip the house bare, occupy it and allow other members of the household to generate their own income while paying, quote, rent to the landlord, the godfather-like head of state. Criminal cartels run the empire and other nations around the world. And when there's not enough to go around, those cartels begin to infight. And we are entering that phase of this planetary omnicide equation. Let's do some Dubai follow-up. The weather experiment that really flooded Dubai. That headline is new from theconversation.com. They then state this, a reckless experiment in Earth's atmosphere caused a desert metropolis to flood. That was the story last week, they say, when more than a year's worth of rain fell in a day on the Arabian Peninsula, one of the world's driest regions. The Conversation.com report then goes on to push the conclusion that there was no intentional weather experiment whatsoever. It was all just climate change. But the authors of this report then go about peddling climate engineering as a good thing. They state, quote, alarmed by how fast we are making climate unlivable, some scientists have called for emergency measures. What might those measures be? Here it is. Why dimming the sun would be an effective tool, they say, in the fight against climate change, which is a reference to climate engineering and solar radiation management operations. The Conversation.com report then says this. Trying to mimic the cooling effect of a volcanic eruption, but on a permanent basis. Really, permanent. We're going to permanently put planes in the atmosphere spewing their toxic nanoparticle filth, destroying the ozone layer, disrupting the hydrological cycle, and contaminating everything forever. And that's a solution? They then say concerns about attempting to manage solar radiation this way, including the question of who has the right to regulate global thermostat. Yeah, that's a question, isn't it? And it's not being used as a weapon of war. Then how come agricultural regions are being systematically targeted with flash flood, flash freeze, flash drought, flash everything? But yes, that is a question, isn't it? Who gets to decide who lives and who doesn't? And are the manipulators of the matrix just trying to keep the planet cool for our comfort and convenience, or is it something else altogether? Global weather warfare. Just benevolent? Or the crown jewel weapon of covert power and control. You decide. And while you're doing it, take a good look at the first 15 seconds of this broadcast posted at the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org every week after the broadcast goes up. The first 15 seconds on film and on the record for our radio listeners that may not have seen it is a film of former President Lyndon Johnson, 1962, on film, on the record, ranting like a lunatic, stating we had the power to control the world's cloud layer then, 62 years ago, and quote, he who controls the weather controls the world. Does that sound benevolent to you? Does that sound like a benevolent motive? Moving on, here's one more on the Dubai cover-up from PHYS.org. Quote, don't blame Dubai's freak rain on cloud seeding. The storm was far too big, they say, to be human-made. And about this headline, half true, half false. Regarding the first half of the headline, could single-engine propeller-driven weather modification airplanes with a few flares on the wings that drop maybe a few kilos of particles have caused this level of deluge? No. About the second half of the headline, absolutely false. Climate intervention operations have long since been recognized by militaries as a weapon as devastating as nuclear bombs or worse. Consider this 2001 UK Guardian report headline. RAF, that's the Royal Air Force, rainmakers caused 1952 flood. The Guardian report continues. Unearthed documents suggest experiment-triggered torrent that killed 35 in Devon deluge disaster. A team of international scientists working with the RAF was experimenting with artificial rainmaking in southern Britain in the same week and could possibly be implicated at this event. Wow, what an amazing coincidence. Survivors of the southern Britain flood called for, but never got, a full investigation into the causes of the disaster. Over and over and over again. Let's not forget Project Popeye in Vietnam. Historical record. U.S. swamping Vietnam for 5 years with programs that were so effective that by the mid-70s, there were international treaties to forbid weather manipulation because of those floods. And we have this so-called science source putting out an article saying the storm was far too big to be human-made? Total delusion. Just too big for a single-engine propeller-driven airplane with some flares on the wings to make, but not KC-135s, KC-10s, C-17 Globemasters that can carry upwards of 100 tons of material in a single payload. And then let's add the radio frequency transmissions with them, which you can see. We captured that at geoengineeringwatch.org on a post on our homepage that showed in the Persian Gulf inarguable frequency transmission signatures the day before and the day of this event. This is not nature. Now let's add this puzzle piece from the UK Telegraph. The British scientists plotting to control the world's weather. Pioneering research in the damp English countryside aims to transform some of the world's driest regions. In the summer of 2017, the report says, a delegation of visitors from the United Arab Emirates, what a coincidence, think Dubai, flew into the Berkshire town of Reading. They had not come for a sightseeing tour, but to discover how scientists at the university were progressing with small matters of controlling the weather. That's not a small matter, is it? Earlier that year, the University of Reading had been awarded $1.5 million of a $5 million fund allocated by the UAE Research Program for Rain Enhancement. Then they say, if it sounds like fiction, earlier iterations have in fact been around since the 1940s, with the UAE employing cloud seeding extensively since the early 2000s. But nothing to see here. Climate engineering operations aren't real, they tell us. It's all just a big conspiracy theory. From DWTV Germany, global military spending soars to new record highs. What a surprise, or not. The insanity of those that are still controlling the collective fate of the human race, indeed all life on Earth. What a great idea. As the planet's remaining life support systems are circling the drain, let's use all the remaining resources to build even bigger military juggernauts of total destruction, even more and bigger nuclear bombs. What could go wrong? The completely out of control military-industrial complex is making us all safer, right? Here's another new headline example from the UK Guardian. U.S. Congress passes foreign military aid package with $5 billion boost for AUKUS agreement with Australia. That's Australia, UK, U.S. That's what AUKUS stands for. Another axis of military insanity. Other governments are doing much the same, but which military is in everyone else's backyard or on their border with 800 bases of empire all over the world? Yes, the USA. Procuring resources from everyone else's country to keep the loot, plunder, pillage, and pollute party going until the moment of impact, pacifying populations and promoting their personal pursuits of pleasure to distract them from the oncoming train. And for the record, far too many are still far too willing to remain distracted until that last moment. The Guardian report then states, the U.S. President Joe Biden has earmarked a further $17.5 billion in funding for U.S. submarine industrial base over 5 years. Congressional funding ensures that the U.S. can produce Virginia-class nuclear-powered submarines for Australia as well. Great. Just what we need on a rapidly dying planet with oceans that are dying by the day, more nuclear nightmare submarine weapons of mass destruction with sonar that's killing any and every whale that might still be alive. Perfect. Welcome to the planetary asylum. Final statement from the Guardian report. Virginia-class submarines to guard against any capability gap until the new AUKUS submarines are available in the 2030s. No need to be concerned about the 2030s date. We won't make it that far. You can quote me on that. And speaking of quotes, consider the following from former U.S. Marine Major General Smedley Butler. War is a racket. I spent 33 years and 4 months in active military service, and during that period, Butler states, I spent most of my time as a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street, and the bankers. In short, I was a racketeer, a gangster for capitalism. I helped make Mexico, and especially Tampico, safe for American oil interests in 1914. I helped make Haiti and Cuba a decent place for the National City Bank boys to collect revenues in. I helped in the raping of half a dozen Central American republics for the benefit of Wall Street. I helped purify Nicaragua. We know what purify means, don't we? For the international banking house of Brown Brothers in 1902 through 1912. I brought light to the Dominican Republic for the American sugar interests in 1916. I helped make Honduras right for the American fruit companies in 1903. In China, in 1927, I helped see to it that Standard Oil went on its way unmolested. Looking back on it, Butler states, I might have given Al Capone a few hints. The best he could do was operate his racket in three districts. I operated on three continents. End quote. Again, from former U.S. Marine Major Smedley Butler. Nothing has changed. It's only on a far larger and exponentially more destructive scale. To those that are still trying to convince themselves that the hundreds of U.S. military so-called interventions all over the world since the 1800s were and are about so-called freedom and democracy, please wake up and do some objective research soon, as we are all rapidly running out of time, and the global military-industrial complex is completely out of control. The atmospheric aerosol spraying operations occurring in our skies is a stunning example. And this caveat is necessary to those that assume that my factually just criticism of the U.S. military misadventures around the world is somehow an endorsement of other countries and governments. No. Any such assumption is patently wrong. They're all bad, all criminal. Again, it's only a matter of scale. Whether manipulation, modification, engineering, enhancement, etc., no matter what label is attached to it, interfering with the hydrological cycle, aka the planet's life support systems, is destructive, period. When you influence rain to fall in one location, it didn't get where it would have otherwise gone. When you prevent rain from falling in one location, it comes down elsewhere in a deluge. Climate and weather interference in any form and on any and every scale, and especially with tens of millions of tons of toxic materials annually, in the case of geoengineering operations, is a recipe for planetary omnicide. And omnicide will be our collective fate if this most destructive human activity and many other human activities are not halted. We can't live in the way we have lived and expect to live long. Moving on, new from NPR, very old and worn out news that NPR wants us to think is current and to believe has meaning, neither of which is true or accurate. Here it is. Startups want to cool Earth by reflecting sunlight. There are few rules and big risks. The last part of that is true. Yes, let's all keep pretending that global climate engineering is just a proposal by a few clown characters that attempt a publicity stunt called, in this case, Make Sunsets. They launched a balloon in Baja California, absolutely meaningless. And NPR wants us to believe that this is as far as climate engineering has gotten. Not exactly true. Don't look up. New from scientist.com. They follow up with their version of deception and distraction. Geoengineering could save the ice sheets, they say, but only if we start soon. Shading the planet by spraying aerosols into the stratosphere might stave off ice sheet collapse, modeling studies suggest, but we are running out of time. Really, we should start soon, they say, like over 75 years ago, that soon? And how's that going so far? With record low ice, sea ice volume, both poles, volume. Extent is meaningless. That's another falsified statistic. The powers that be are now calling ice pack anything with 15% sea slush or more. That's not an ice pack. That's still 85% ocean. All statistical falsification, but people buy it. They see a headline from some pundit that's represented by the carbon fuel industry, and they buy it because it feels good to think you're going to be driving that Suburban for the next 100 years. It's not going to happen. This is a multi-layered problem. Yes, climate engineering, single most destructive human activity, but by no means the only problem. You can't incinerate 100 million barrels of carbon fuel a day, 260,000 tons of coal a day, cut down the forest, pave the planet, poison the oceans without having a big, big problem. Let's start with climate engineering. Let's stop that. Let's allow the planet to respond to the damage done, and then we will assess where we're at. But we have a great many problems, and we need to face them now, or we will all be out of time. So again, about the total deception from newscientist.com, far too many are far too willing to go along with it. Again, we'll very soon see where that path leads. And now this, from sierraclub.org. Solar geoengineering could wreak havoc on the planet. That's the headline. The report says dimming the sun to slow down global warming might buy us some time, but would also come with significant risks. Yes, the so-called Sierra Club of deception and total hypocrisy, part of the pretender club that, quote, solar geoengineering could, may, might wreak havoc on the planet someday. Oops, too late. Over 75 years too late. And then there's the countless other forms of human activity that is also laying waste to our formerly thriving planet. Our species has sown to the wind. And yes, as the proverb goes, we will soon reap the whirlwind. It's already unfolding. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the weekly installment of the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Report, the End of the World as We Know It broadcast, brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, the largest and most visited website in the world and the subject of global climate intervention operations, aka weather warfare. Reaching a critical mass of awareness is the only way forward in this fight. We must reach a critical mass. And starting a conversation on climate engineering that leads people to a credible source of data is a great start. Geoengineering Watch will continue all of our efforts to be the go-to source on covert climate engineering operations. And to start a conversation on climate engineering, Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials are excellent tools. Shirts, cards, booklets, printed materials that we pass on for less than our cost of producing and shipping, our only goal, to put them into circulation while it can still do some good. If we can fully expose weather warfare, so many other truths will be forced to the full light of day with it. Moving on, current and coming scheduled weather in the U.S. The West Coast is scheduled to be kept cool, with unorganized and heavily seeded moisture being allowed to flow into the West from the Pacific. This is moisture which the climate engineers could, and so often in years past have, blocked with an ionosphere heater-induced high-pressure heat dome. Search the engineering drought section on geoengineeringwatch.org to learn more about that, engineering droughts. But for the last 2 years, they have intermittently altered their script. This West Coast moisture is scattered over the widest possible region. Frequency transmissions and heavy atmospheric aerosol spraying are both factors in this equation. The frequency transmissions have a repelling effect for air masses that are moisture-laden and saturated with electrically conductive climate engineering elements. The results, often featureless aerosol-laden cloud canopies, an excess of small cloud nuclei, keeps the droplets from combining and falling as precipitation. Dry or slightly drizzly on the ground, with some exceptions, and to cover as much sky as possible. Welcome to solar radiation management. Patented processes of chemical ice nucleation cloud seeding can and does create a cold, dense layer of air that settles to the surface and fuels the temperature whiplash scenarios that are becoming the norm. As mentioned in last week's broadcast, since late March, at lower elevations in parts of Northern California, we've gone from 80 degrees to snow, back to 80, back to snow, back to the 80s early this week, and now back to the 40s late this week. And this isn't nature. It's climate intervention operations and chemical ice nucleation cloud seeding. As the cold surface air masses are pushed eastward across the U.S. and they collide with the moisture flows from the record warm Gulf of Mexico, where more chemical ice nucleation cloud seeding is conducted over these moisture flows as they enter the U.S., cyclonic rotations and extreme hail are consequences. The weathermakers need excess moisture to chemically nucleate into temporary toxic surface cool downs. The record warm Gulf of Mexico is one of their primary moisture sources. Drought deluge scenarios, the hallmarks of climate engineering operations. So, currently, the scheduled weather from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and NWS, the National Weather Service, both with illegal federal agency gag orders on them, by the way, below normal surface temperatures in the western U.S. for the next 10 to 12 days, and above to far above normal temperatures in much of the rest of the country. And keep in mind, the scheduled weather can always be altered again and again. But the weather whiplash and temperature whiplash scenarios are continuing and worsening. Here's the bottom line. With any discussion of weather or climate from any perspective, there is no legitimate discussion of either subject, weather or climate, without first and foremost acknowledging and addressing the issue of climate engineering operations, period. In this next report from New Scientist, they actually expose the truth, not because they care about it or are invested in it, but because it can no longer be hidden in this case, with oceans, fisheries, and all aquatic life collapsing around the world. Here's the headline. Extreme heat in 2023 linked to drastic slump in growth of marine life. It's far worse than that. They say last year's marine heat wave saw an unprecedented decline in the growth of phytoplankton and algae, which many animals in the oceans depend on for food. More on this dire subject, our dying seas, shortly. Stay tuned. From PVmagazine.com, PV stands for photovoltaic, aka solar power. Here's the headline. Dust and cloud impact solar across Arabian Peninsula. Really? Just dust? Just clouds? What kind of clouds? The kind that are emitted from the back of geoengineering jet aircraft and then spread out for hours and more, combining and often covering entire skylines? And it isn't just the Arabian Peninsula, is it? Stop and think of this paradox. The pushing of solar power while ramping up solar radiation management operations and the global dimming they create, which devastates solar power production. It is this very fact that drew me into this fight over 20 years now past the massive loss of solar power from my just completed fully off-grid home that was the cover article for the world's largest renewable energy magazine. Knowing that so-called condensation trails could not possibly be the source of my massive solar power losses, and as vast precipitation and atmospheric testing has proven since, the trails we see in our skies are sprayed particulate dispersions, SRM operations. Please view the groundbreaking documentary, The Dimming, on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. But matrix media and academia deception continues unabated from AOL.com. Radical experiment shows cloud brightening may be our climate's white knight. Covered a similar headline on last week's broadcast, I believe. This is a new study by scientists at the University of Birmingham in collaboration with U.S. and European universities. They say they have discovered that geoengineering techniques known as marine cloud brightening, which is a form of solar radiation management, could be a more effective, quote, painkiller for climate change than previously realized. However, they say any kind of climate tool under the tech umbrella of geoengineering will draw suspicion. Scientists, for example, aren't sure how MCB, marine cloud brightening, which is SRM, could affect ocean circulation patterns or, and it is affecting those patterns, by the way, when you affect upper level wind currents, you affect ocean currents. And now we have oceans pumping warm water into the Arctic, where it's thawing formerly frozen methane deposits on the seafloor that are then releasing, migrating through the water column, entering the atmosphere, migrating into the atmosphere, spreading out and covering the planet like a layer of glass, trapping heat 120 times more effectively than CO2 over a 10-year time horizon. Think about that. None of this mentioned or addressed by any of the geoengineering peddlers. They say, or if it could increase rainfall in some places while reducing rainfall in others. Exactly what I've stated. Again, drought deluge scenarios. Been stating this for 15 years at Geoengineering Watch and many years even before that. But proponents, they say, emphasize that the world is already being geoengineered by human-created greenhouse gases, and that the side effects of marine cloud brightening could potentially be preferable to the devastating costs of climate change. We already know enough to know what weather warfare is doing to the planet. It is completely disabling the planet's ability to respond to the damage already done by other sources of human activity. Toxifying soils, killing root systems, turning massive former carbon sinks, aka tropical and boreal forests, into carbon sources. They're now releasing more carbon than they absorb. I'll get to more of that later in this broadcast. It's called VPD, vapor pressure deficit, which no one from academia seems to know about, let alone address. We know at geoengineeringwatch.org and have tried to sound the alarm on this for so many years. What's wrong with academia? What's wrong with the so-called experts that don't seem to have a clue about the very field in which we're told they're experts? They're either criminally negligent of this very field, or they're lying. Take your pick. That last statement from America Online, this report, is reminiscent of the statement from the world's most recognized geoengineer, Dr. David Keith. When I confronted him at an international geoengineering conference, what Dr. Keith called, quote, a risk-to-risk scenario. If you want to see my confrontation with Dr. Keith, please view the Dimming documentary. It's all there, on film and on the record. So, after 75 years of covert climate disruption operations, do you think these programs are, quote, preferable to letting nature take its own course? Does that question even deserve an answer? Next up, Biden to the rescue. From NBC News, Biden is marking Earth Day by announcing $7 billion in federal solar power grants. They say Biden is working to energize young voters for his re-election campaign. Great idea, Joe. Let's cut down more forests to build massive solar farms that the chemical ice nucleation cloud seeding extreme hail can then completely obliterate, which means even more solar panel sales. Panels which, for the record, are not actually, quote, renewable and are built with many toxic materials, hexafluorethane being one, that's 17,000 times more potent than CO2 as a greenhouse gas. That's something nobody ever tells you, do they? And all these panels will end up in so-called landfills. All this being said, solar is by far better than outright burning of carbon fuels, but it's not, quote, renewable in the sense of the word that we're being trained to believe. So about that solar farm and crop-destroying hail, which chemical ice nucleation cloud seeding is so effective at causing. From Scientific American, this headline, is climate change causing more record-breaking hail? Question mark. No question about that. It is. From Weather Underground, record hailstorms and hailstones in the U.S. From TheAtlantic.com, hail, it's America's most underrated climate risk. And not just America, it's happening all over the world. And this week, more headlines. First, huge hailstorm causes extensive damage and could challenge records in the Carolinas. That's from Yahoo News. From Fox News, tornadoes, large hail, damaging winds, all possible as multi-day severe weather threat begins in central U.S. From DailyMotion.com, storms leave hailstorms in several regions of China. From Nature.com, baseball-size hail in Spain began with a heat wave at sea. From BBC, the rise of giant hailstones. Just nature on a warming planet? Really, does that make any sense at all? And from RenewableEnergyWorld.com, Texas hailstorm damages thousands of solar panels at 350-megawatt farm. Just the beginning. And so many other homes, roofs, cars. Hail is pummeling. It's now the norm. Baseball-size hail every other storm. That's not nature. It's chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Please search and view the engineering winter section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to learn about these patented processes. And now the payoff. New from heatmapnews.com. Biden's climate cash is finally pouring in to the tune of $37 billion in the past month alone. Break those panels up. Just buy more. Build more. Fueling the economy, a snake eating its own tail. And what about the air we're breathing? From the UK Guardian, more than one-third of people in the U.S. exposed to harmful air pollution, new report states. American Lung Association state-of-the-year report states nearly 131 million people exposed to ozone and particle pollution, PM2.5, they say, according to the American Lung Association's annual state-of-the-air report. Exposure to these pollutants can raise the risk of lung and heart disease, asthma attacks, as well as reproductive ailments. But what about the submicron atmospheric particulates, the most harmful of all, the kind that climate engineering utilizes, something in the range of 40 to 60 million tons of these nanoparticles dispersed in our skies annually? And remember, you can fit 100,000 nanoparticles across the width of a single human hair. They're bioavailable and bioaccumulative. They are absorbed in everything. And oh yeah, those nanoparticles don't even get tested for, let alone reported. Just an oversight, I'm sure. There's more. Also from the UK Guardian, ocean spray emits more PFAS forever chemicals than industrial polluters. The report then states, research into release of forever chemicals raises concerns about contamination and human exposure along world's coastlines. They say the study measured levels of PFAS released from bubbles that burst when waves crashed, spraying aerosols into the air. It found sea spray levels were hundreds of thousands of times higher than levels in the water. Really? Does that sound rational or logical to anybody? That sea spray bubbles are this massive source of PFAS forever chemicals, and that we should pay no attention to those jet aircraft leaving horizon to horizon expanding trails or X patterns, ovals, and often with their tracking transponders turned off? Nothing to see here. The Guardian report then states, the contaminated spray likely affects groundwater, surface water, vegetation, and agricultural products near coastlines that are far from industrial sources of PFAS forever chemicals. PFAS are a class of 15,000 chemicals used across dozens of industry. The Guardian report then says, PFAS forever chemicals are linked to cancer, kidney disease, birth defects, decreased immunity, liver problems, and a range of other serious diseases. They are dubbed, quote, forever chemicals because they don't naturally break down and are highly mobile once in the environment, so they continuously move through the ground, water, and air. PFAS have been detected in all corners of the globe, from penguin eggs in Antarctica to polar bears in the Arctic. The researchers found that PFAS forever chemicals from ocean waves crashing are released into air around shorelines and then can travel thousands of kilometers through the atmosphere before the chemicals return to land. They then say the test results showed that the PFAS chemicals are powerful surfactants that concentrate on the surface of water, which helps to explain why they move from oceans to air and then into the atmosphere. Question: are we expected to believe that our now completely toxic world has absolutely nothing to do with the shockingly visible atmospheric aerosol dispersions that also involve surfactants? And we know this from our testing, but that we are told isn't actually occurring because elected officials, CNN and the Sierra Club, says so? More footnotes from the Planetary Asylum. You're listening to the weekly installment of Global Alert News, the Bad News Broadcast, installment number 455, April 27th. 2024. This is Dane Wigington, your host. Global Alert News is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, the largest and most visited website in the world and the subject of covert climate intervention operations known as geoengineering. Recordings of the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour can be found on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent column and on the Dane Wigington YouTube channel. Geoengineering Watch wishes to express our deepest gratitude to those that have helped us to expand our reach and thus our voice in this desperate last-hour effort to sound the alarm. If you're on our email list, please put us on our email contact book so that our mailouts don't go to the spam files. Please help us to share the groundbreaking documentary, The Dimming, which fully exposes the climate engineering atrocities, now with, I believe, 10,200,000 plus views on YouTube. The best way to share is by circulating the direct link to The Dimming by email directly from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Sharing directly helps us to overcome social media censorship. When viewing our YouTube of The Dimming or Global Alert News or any other Geoengineering Watch video on YouTube, please subscribe, share, and comment, all of which helps us to circulate critically important data to a much wider audience. About reaching those that still aren't recognizing what's happening in our skies, here's one way: by starting the conversation with Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials, which can be found on our homepage. Our printed materials, again, we pass on for less than our cost of producing and shipping. Our only goal, to put them in the hands of activists while we can still make a difference at this late hour. Our geoengineeringwatch.org hoodies and shirts are both great conversation starters. Both can be found on our homepage. We have scannable business cards and bumper stickers, all effective tools to help strike up a conversation on the climate engineering issue. Again, reaching a critical mass of awareness on this issue is the great imperative of our time. If we can expose it, we can stop it. If you're willing to share a picture of yourself with a Geoengineering Watch t-shirt or hoodie, perhaps at a local mall or somewhere busy, please send your photo to us so that we can post it as part of our activist compilation, which is now part of our materials page. The images encourage others to make their voices heard in this all-important battle to sound the alarm. And to all those that are steadfastly committed to this absolutely must-win fight for everything that matters, as always, my deepest gratitude to you. Our collective efforts is what it will take to make a difference at this late hour. As we cover more headlines, remember to consider climate disruption operations fuel drought and deluge scenarios. The disruption of precipitation in one location can, and all too often does, create deluge in another location. Question, are both scenarios potentially seen as a benefit to those in power? Control the weather, control food supplies, and societal functionality, control the world, at least for a while. From UK Guardian, millions at risk of floods in China's Guangdong province after heavy rain. Officials urge municipalities to begin emergency planning after major rivers and reservoirs threaten to overflow. Major rivers, waterways, and reservoirs in China's Guangdong province are threatening to unleash dangerous floods, forcing the government to enact emergency response plans to protect more than 127 million people. Think about that. More flooding issues. This one from the Barents Observer. Nuclear expert fears flooded radioactive dump sites in Siberia can threaten Arctic Ocean. There's only one ocean. Let's keep that in mind. You pollute one part of the ocean, you pollute the whole ocean. Same goes with Fukushima. This report continues. The record floods are among the worst ever in that region, Siberia. Floodwaters in the Tomsk region threatens to submerge the riverbanks in the Siversk region, where highly radioactive liquid waste from the Soviet Union nuclear weapons program for decades was injected into two unprotected underground reservoirs. Most challenging are the liquid radioactive waste, both on the surface and pumped down into deep well injections. The nuclear dump is likely Russia's largest by IAEA estimations to be 70 million cubic meters of nuclear waste. Now let's add Fukushima. In Putin's Russia, critical voices are gone. Environmental groups like Greenpeace, Worldwide Fund for Nature, and Bellona are listed as undesirable by law. Oh, and our speech is so free here in the USSR, isn't it? And about the environmental organizations mentioned, bastions of hypocrisy, all flat out denying the spraying of our skies to protect their nonprofit status. More flood reports from AP News. Heavy rain brings deadly flooding to Kenya and Burundi. From the New York Times, flooding inundates Kenya, killing at least 32 and displacing thousands. Heavy rains also pounded other nations in East Africa, including Tanzania, where at least 155 people were killed, according to the country's prime minister. From AP News, Pakistani province issued a flood alert and warns of heavy loss of life from glacial melting. Now let's swing the pendulum the other direction, the devastating drought part of the drought deluge scenario, again, hallmark of climate engineering operations. In historically wet British Columbia, new from CBC Canada, taps will be turned off if water rules are defied. That's pretty serious. Use too much water, you lose all of it. In another CBC article, BC's British Columbia's spring snowpack is the lowest on record. How many in the U.S. even know about this? Further south, where it should be warmer, and in fact it was for most of the winter, that wasn't. But nothing a big blast of climate engineering and patented processes of chemical ice nucleation cloud seeding can't fix, or should I say, harm the environment even more than all the various forms of weather whiplash that has already been inflicted on populations. From MSN.com, freeze weather warning issued for 9 states as temperatures plummet. Freeze weather warnings have been issued as temperatures are set to plummet in several Midwestern states on Sunday. Warnings are in place for 9 states, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Isn't that 8 states? I think that's only 8. Cognitive breakdown in so many arenas. Next from thewatchers.news.org, severe cold snap hits Europe after unseasonable warmth, high risk for catastrophic morning frost. Listen to this one, more crop crushing. Central Europe is facing a high risk of catastrophic morning frost over the next few days as cold air threatens extensive damage to agriculture across the region. Meteorologists from Severe Weather Europe have issued warnings about potentially severe impacts on blooming fruit trees, vineyards, and crops following a swift transition from unusually warm conditions. This severe temperature fluctuation poses a direct threat to the region's agriculture, particularly to the fruit and vineyards now vulnerable after early blooming, What a surprise. Just has been done over and over in other parts of the world. Excessive warmth, crops and flora bloom and bud, and then all gets a chemical surface flash freeze. Control, control, control. That's the bottom line. Then this contrasting new headline on Europe. Increasingly hot European summers are hammering health, report says. Back to the atmospheric particulates, which are named in this report. Again, not surprisingly, the smallest and most dangerous kind, the climate engineering kind, not named. From another part of the world, this stark contrast. From news.un.org, aka the UN News, Gaza heat wave brings new misery and disease risk to Rafah. Unexpected blistering temperatures across Gaza have added to the daily misery faced by the enclave's people and sparked new fears of disease outbreak amid a lack of sufficient clean water and waste disposal, UN humanitarians said on Thursday. Again, this report from the UN News. Question, is this just another tragic coincidence for this already long-suffering population? You decide. Mourn the collective fate of those the predator parasite class sees as the expendables. From PHYS.org, so hot you can't breathe, extreme heat hits the Philippines. From that report, extreme heat scorched the Philippines on Wednesday. This is an ongoing story, forcing thousands of schools to suspend in-person classes and prompting warnings for people to limit the amount of time spent outdoors. Also from PHYS.org, thousands in heat wave hit Bangladesh. Pray for rain, the report says. The report then states, life has become unbearable due to lack of rains. That's a statement from an Islamic cleric that held morning prayers. He continued, poor people are suffering immensely. From ESPN.com, what we should all be most worried about, football's climate change threat, flooded stadiums, and too hot to train. Wow, how can we bear it? Could a few games be canceled before total collapse? That would be horrible, wouldn't it? From CBS News, climate change, a health risk for 70% of world's workers, UN warns. Excessive heat, extreme weather, solar UV radiation, and air pollution have resulted in alarming increases in some diseases. All of this is completely inseparable. When we don't see blue skies anymore, what do people think is making them not blue anymore? Question, can any of these factors be separated from climate disruption operations? Not so much. On to the schedule weather, now becoming too runaway to keep chemically cool. From MSN.com, U.S. weather, near nationwide heat wave could begin next month, threatening one of America's hottest summers on record. Like last summer, hottest global summer on record in the Northern Hemisphere. They say a near nationwide heat wave could begin as soon as next month, as meteorologists sound alarm bells for weeks of extreme weather. Guess that means buckle up, eh? From MSN.com, the wet bulb set to kill hundreds of thousands of people if temperatures and humidity levels continue to rise, and they will. Temperatures are continuing to rise to fresh all-time highs as global warming accelerates. People have started to die because of the extreme heat, and it's only a matter of time before the wet bulb effect will kill large numbers of people. If you're in a chemically cooled part of the U.S. or other first world nation, that's not the state of the whole world. Please look further than your own doorstep. If the body can't cool down, it will eventually overheat, triggering respiratory and cardiovascular issues and even death. If the victim cannot quickly find another way to cool off, then the wet bulb effect kills within 6 hours, according to a landmark study, reports Reuters. Wet bulb definition, a combination of temperature and humidity at which the human body can no longer cool itself because it's too humid for sweat to evaporate. Moving on to more on our dying seas from CosmosMagazine.com. Scientists respond to global mass bleaching declaration, aka coral reefs dying all over the world. From NewScientist.com, as mentioned at the start of this broadcast, again, extreme heat in 2023 linked to drastic slump in growth of marine life. It's mass die-off. It's not just a slump. From Reuters.com, emperor penguins suffered mass breeding failures in 2023 amid record low sea ice. From the Washington Post, another major institution predicts a record year for hurricanes. Here's the headline. Forecast group predicts the busiest hurricane season on record with 33 storms, though the scheduled weather script can be changed at any given time. And let's consider this headline from EHN.org. The planet's largest ecosystems could collapse faster than we thought. They're talking about the Amazon, and it's not faster than they thought. It's faster than they were willing to tell us. And the Amazon isn't as large as the global oceanic ecosystem, which is also collapsing at blinding speed. For the record, we're already there. Forests all over the world are completely imploding and often incinerating. We're already down to one-third of the global tree cover that we had at the dawn of civilization, aka two-thirds already gone with the rest dying fast. Mass global reef bleaching and collapse now. Even larger ocean ecosystems of kelp forest, 90% collapse now. Global food fish populations, 90% collapse now. Plankton populations in the Atlantic, 90% collapse now. Insect populations, aquatic and terrestrial, 80 to 90% collapse now. Again, collapse isn't coming someday. It's kicking in the front door now. So where does all this leave us? The following is a profoundly accurate statement from a comment thread in last week's broadcast. Here it is. So you're having a spiritual awakening, question mark. You have lost all your quote friends. Question mark. You can no longer work a, quote, regular job, and your family thinks you are, quote, crazy. Question mark. Congratulations. Exclamation point. You have escaped the matrix. Exclamation point. That's about how it works, isn't it? You find out very quickly where you stand with so many when you're not willing to turn two blind eyes to profoundly painful truths. Challenging someone's chosen perception of reality can, and often does, trigger defense mechanisms, anger, animosity. I've been witness to this so many times from so many individuals, family, and former friends that will very possibly keep their eyes wide shut until the moment of impact. The predator-parasite class knows that many won't be here much longer due to the rapidly accelerating global ecological collapse. Why are so many not only allowing the controllers to decide who goes first, but the vast majority are actually actively or passively assisting the controllers with their agendas and objectives? It is absolute folly to rely on Matrix Media to tell you the unspun truth about anything, to draw any conclusions as to the state of the world and of who is doing what to who. Objective research is absolutely necessary. The role of Matrix Media is to deceive, polarize, and divide until the moment of impact. Never forget that. If any change of course can yet be achieved, it's up to us to achieve it. The sand in the hourglass is running down very quickly. Decide what matters and what doesn't. Remember what belongs to you, your will, honor, morality, virtue, and what doesn't, aka everything else. Exposing and halting what is taking place in our skies is the single greatest leap we can collectively make in the right direction at this late hour. Please check the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for specific instructions on how you can help to move this fight forward. Please make your voice heard while it can still make a difference. We must make every day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org.